Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 92, titled The Paradox of Wealth. Hope you guys all had a happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas, and that you'll have a very happy new year coming up here in a couple days. And hope you enjoyed the holidays and stayed free of getting sick. I've met a few people lately who were sick over the holidays, and that's never fun. So hopefully this podcast finds you all well. So today we're going to talk about a couple things. I'm going to talk about the paradox of wealth for a minute, and then I'm going to talk about some things regarding investing. So the paradox of wealth is this. We are wired as human beings to want more, but getting more doesn't make us happier. That is the paradox of wealth. And so I'm reading a book called Strength for Strength. It's a pretty cool book so far. It's written for people kind of, so far what I've learned is it's teaching that younger people are often the innovators in the world, and more experienced professionals are more wise and can teach and share more, but that the brain kind of works, the innovative side of things works well in the 20s and 30s and starts to often in many professions drop off after that. But one thing he writes in his book that I think is really interesting that has to do with this paradox of wealth, he gives an example about how art mirrors life, and he compared the Eastern philosophy of art and music to the Western philosophy. But then he goes on to say this: art mirrors life as usual. In the West, success and happiness come, or so we believe, by avoiding losses and accumulating more stuff, more money, more accomplishments, more relationships, more experiences, more prestige, more followers, more possessions. Meanwhile, most Eastern philosophy warns that the acquisitiveness leads to materialism and vanity, which derails the search for happiness by obscuring one's essential nature. We need to chip away at the jade boulder of our lives until we find ourselves. So he talks also about, as we grow older in the West, we generally think we should have more to show for our lives, a lot like trophies are for kids. So those trophies in the Western world would look like really large houses and expensive cars, and maybe here in Utah there's a lot of ATVs and travel trailers, and maybe it could be jewelry. Anyway, that we have to show kind of our prominence and our success by these material possessions. But the Eastern way of thinking, this is all backwards. As we age, we shouldn't accumulate more to represent ourselves, but rather strip things away to find our true selves. And so I love the idea of that Eastern philosophy of kind of figuring out ways to measure success differently, because what happens with a lot of people is a lot of people go into a profession, and some become really good at their profession and even maybe become a workaholic, where they put a lot of their time and energy into their job or into their profession or into their trade or into whatever makes them a lot of money. And they get a lot of positive feedback from the world by being successful that way. And sometimes what happens is they lose sight of other aspects of their life, such as their family, their kids, their hobbies, their religion. It might be a lot of things that they might lose focus on because they're so hyper-focused on their success in their career, and they become a workaholic. And that becomes their primary motivator, because they have often a deep sense of a fear of failure. And so they will do anything to not fail. You see examples of this. I don't mean to judge these people, so I could be way wrong, but Tom Brady appears like he could be a candidate for this, where he's just had such a workaholic, competitive drive to be the best football player in the world, which he has achieved. that eventually he lost his marriage, possibly because of it. At least that was the rumor, that his wife really wanted him to retire and he chose football over her. And so I think this plays out in many relationships in life where people kind of lose sight and they form their identity around their profession instead of forming their identity around other values that they have that might be related to their family or togetherness or their passions that they pursue outside of work. And so maybe volunteering, for example. So a word of caution or maybe a possibility to reflect on this concept right now is to do a check-in with yourself to see how imbalanced is your life, how imbalanced is your profession. If you're working over 50 hours a week, maybe it's an opportunity to check in. Some people will come up with all kinds of sophisticated rationalizations to justify their position, such as my boss demands it, my career demands it, I can't lose my edge, how dare you get mad at me, I'm providing for our family. They'll come up with all kinds of justifications as to why it's okay to do this. But sometimes as you strip those things away, what it can boil down to is a person just simply feeding their ego and valuing their personal self-esteem and value comes from the success as a professional instead of from another source. So I'd like us to consider this concept of the paradox of wealth. We are wired to want more, but getting more doesn't always make us happier. And so we've talked in the past about the enough plateau of getting to a point where we have enough and that we can be satisfied and happy with enough. It doesn't mean we stop achieving or we stop doing good things, but that our satisfaction level, our contentment level can get to a point where enough helps us to feel good and not feel like we're always chasing, because there's certain instances, I'm sure we've all come either read about this or known people where they all of a sudden strike it rich or make a lot of money. And then they begin, you see this with a lot with professional athletes, they'll begin to buy way more than they need. They'll have 10 luxury cars, some of which have never been driven. They might have art and packages and clothes that have never been worn or hung on the wall. And so that drive to have more does not necessarily bring happiness or contentment. So, and people just do this typically because they can or because they think it will bring them happiness. But a lot of times in life, it's important to just be mindful of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Some people just never stop to ask that question of why am I living this way? Why am I doing this? And so my invitation to all of you and all of us is to consider maybe a little bit more of the Eastern philosophy that warns that acquiring possessions leads to materialism and vanity, which derails the search for happiness by obscuring one's essential nature. And that maybe as we age and have success and more money, that instead of using it to buy more or have more, that we use it in other ways that might benefit others, for example. And so a lot of people talk about having a bucket list. And a bucket list concept is having a list of things, of all these things you want to achieve, all these places you want to go, all these things you want to do in your life before it's over. And maybe the idea of a bucket list is not, shouldn't be just accepted automatically like we do in our culture. Maybe instead of having a bucket list of all these things we have to do, maybe it's having maybe fewer experiences, but valuing those experiences more or enjoying them more in the moment instead of feeling like we have to move on to the next thing, the next item on my bucket list. Instead, slowing down, enjoying the kind of mundane, typical, repetitive parts of life. And then when we have that kind of moment of difference or uniqueness or separation, when we're on that trip to Hawaii or when we're hiking the Grand Canyon or when we are in Norway looking at the Northern Lights or whatever it might be for you, that moment can be super special and can be something that will bring us happiness the rest of our lives. If it becomes an endless bucket list, an endless need to travel to show the world how successful we are, then it can become a little bit of an insatiable appetite where maybe we just don't find happiness. And too much can be like the problem instead of too little. So now I'd like to shift gears as we come to the end of our year of 2022 and just talk about just some of you probably need to hear this, some simple rules to investing just to kind of make sure we're on the right track. So I'm just going to go over 12 different ideas to consider when investing just to see if you're on the right track. Number one I want to talk about is there are kind of two really popular ways to invest that I've talked about on this podcast, which is ETFs, exchange traded funds, and mutual funds, specifically index funds. And they're two different, they're kind of structured in two different ways, but hold, like for example, a total stock market index ETF will hold the same exact holdings and stocks as a total market index fund. They have the exact same holdings in them. For example, at Vanguard, VTSAX is the mutual fund ticker symbol, and VTI is the exchange traded fund. They have the exact same holdings within them. They're just set up a little differently. And so instead of diving into the weeds about how different they are, the one thing I want you to remember is if you have a retirement account, it doesn't really matter. You can use ETFs or mutual funds. I use mutual funds because there's a few things I like about them a little more. However, if you have a taxable brokerage account, it is better typically to use an ETF instead of a mutual fund because they are more tax efficient and they don't distribute capital gains. So you won't be paying those taxes on those until you withdraw the money. So the next thing I want to talk about with simple rules to investing is to choose to use low-cost index-based products and not actively manage funds or pick individual stocks. Because low cost, the research shows that the lower the cost, the better the performance. And so, because if you have a mutual fund that charges 1% versus, for example, a Fidelity Zero fund that charges zero, that actively managed fund has to outperform the zero fund by 1%, which is very hard to do. So when you invest in a product, look at the expense ratio and make sure it's below 0.25% or 25 basis points. You can get most Fidelity and Vanguard index funds for under 10 basis points, some of which are free, like at Fidelity. The other number three is to start today. I've been working with some young investors, and most of them are really good about starting and helping me, allowing me to help them get started and start their investing career. But I've had a few others who have become educated, but then they don't do anything. They say they can't afford to right now, or they'll do it later. And I just tell them, just get the account set up and get $100 in there. Just get started, because that often is the biggest barrier to getting this snowball rolling down the hill, is to just get started. Number four is ignore the noise and stay the course. This has been a rough year for investors, and my investment accounts are down considerably this year because it's been a rough time in the market. We have years like this. Most years are positive. It's typically 7 to 8 out of 10 years are positive in the stock market. This is one of those 20% where it's down. And so a lot of people will want you to sell, panic, get out of the stock market. It's not a safe place to be. Ignore the noise, stay the course, keep investing. Some people will, for example, fill up their IRA bucket. They'll put in $6,000 into their Roth IRA, and then they will look at their investment at the end of the year and see that their investments are down, even though they put in that $6,000, and that will cause them to feel discouraged. And don't get discouraged. You still own the shares. They're just not worth as much. The price will go up and it will pay off in the long run. Investing is, it's, you got to play the long game and see the big picture. The next point I wanted to make about investing is make sure you have a nice little emergency fund, cash cushion before you begin investing. Because if you're in a bunch of debt and paying 18% to a credit card company, it's hard to beat that in investments. So have a nice emergency fund and try to get out of debt, at least the high interest debt on credit cards and whatnot, before you invest. Now, if you have a car note, a mortgage, some things like that, I would like you to be investing before that's all paid off, obviously. Remember to, if you have a 401k or a 403b or 457, remember to take advantage of those at your place of employment, especially if you get an employer match. And also to remember the power of an IRA or a Roth IRA, if you can, to max that out every year. Next year, it's going to be $6,500 max, $7,500 if you're over 50, which I've just hit that threshold. So I will be able to put $7,500 in mine next year. So time number 8 is remember that time is your most valuable asset. Many people regret not saving more and not starting earlier. And so, like I said, if you're a teenager, if you're in your low 20s, get started. Have your parent help you to get this set up and just get a little money in there and get going. If you're a college student, I know you're not going to be able to probably put a lot in there, but just get started with, nowadays you can invest with $50, $100. You can just get started. That is so important to just get the ball rolling. Number 9 is to try to just pick a simple strategy and stick with it and don't bounce around with every new idea that you hear. And my suggestion would be to invest in a simple total stock market index fund and call it good and just invest in it consistently. Try to make it automatic. The next one is to, number 10 is to learn the basics. Learn what a mutual fund is. Learn what an ETF is. Learn how to set up an account on Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or somewhere like that. Learn how to invest. Learn why it's important to invest. Play with a compound interest calculator. See how much your money can be worth if you start. So just learn the basics of money. Number 11 is to know where your money is going. And so I love to use Personal Capital because I'm able to, it's an app and a website, I'm able to see where all my money went throughout the year and what I spent on every different category. So if you know where your money's going, it's a lot easier to reach your goals. And lastly, number 12 is to make sure your spending patterns align with your values. If you have no idea what you're spending on and no record of it, this will be really hard to know. But if you have a track record written down of, like in Personal Capital, where you can go and see how much you spend on restaurants, how much you spend on Amazon, how much you spend on entertainment, healthcare, you'll be able to see and make sure that your spending aligns with your values. A lot of happiness boils down to living according to what our values are. And a lot of unhappiness is created by living outside of those values. So that's what I have prepared for you. Next time I'm going to talk a little bit. I had a person want me to focus an episode on getting out of credit card debt. And we're going to talk about that next time. And we're also going to talk about two different budgets. One's called the anti-budget and one is called the zero-based budget. And we'll go into some detail about what those are, how to avoid credit card debt, how to know if credit cards are a good tool for you or not. So that will be a fun episode. In the meantime, remember, the simple life is a good life.